Out hunting wild boars all day, when we were suddenly overtaken by a violent storm, which compelled us to seek refuge in a deep cavern. It was Mokoko, our guide, who took upon himself to give utterance to the thought which haunted the minds of the four of us who had sought safety from the fury of the tempest: Mathis, Alan, Mokoko, and myself.
"If the gentleman who lives in yonder house, which is said to be haunted by the devil, does not grant us shelter of his roof tonight, we shall be compelled to sleep here."
Hardly had he uttered the words when a strange figure appeared at the entrance to the cavern.
"It is he!" exclaimed Mokoko, grasping my arm.
I stared at the stranger. He was tall, lanky, of bony frame, and melancholy aspect. Unconscious of our presence, he stood leaning on his fowling piece at the entrance of the cavern, showing a strong aquiline nose, a thin mustache, a stern mouth, and lackluster eyes. He was bareheaded. His hair was thin, while a few gray locks fell behind his ears. His age might have been anywhere between 40 and 60. He might have been strikingly handsome in the days when the light still shone in those time-dimmed eyes and those bitter lips could still break into a smile, but handsome in a haughty and forbidding style. A kind of terrible energy still lurked beneath his features, spectral as those of an apparition. By his side stood a hairless dog, now on its legs, which was evidently barking at us, yet we could hear nothing. The dog, it was plain, was dumb, and barked at us in silence. Suddenly the man turned towards us and said in a voice of the most exquisite politeness,
"Gentlemen, it is out of the question for you to return to La Chaux-de-Fonds tonight. Permit me to offer you my hospitality."
Then, bending over his dog, he said,
"Stop barking, Mister."
The dog closed his jaws at once. Mokoko emitted a grunt. During the 5 hours that we had been enjoying the chase, Mathis and Mokoko had told Alan and myself, who were strangers to the district, some strange and startling stories about our host, whom they represented as having had, like Faust, dealings with the evil spirit. It was not without some trepidation, therefore, that we all moved out of the cavern.
"Gentlemen," said the stranger with a melancholy smile, "it is many a long year since my door was thrown open to visitors. I am not fond of society. But I must tell you that one night, 6 months ago, a youth who had lost his way came and knocked at that door and begged for shelter till the morning. I refused him his request. Next day, a body was found at the bottom of the big marl pit, a body partly devoured by wolves."
"Why, that must have been Petit Leduc," cried Mokoko. "So you were heartless enough to turn the poor lad away, at night and in the midst of winter. You are his murderer."
"Truly spoken," replied the man simply. "It was I who killed him. And now you see, gentlemen, that the incident has rendered me hospitable."
"Would you tell us why you drove him from your door?" growled Mokoko.
"Because," he replied quietly, "my house brings misfortune."
"I would rather risk meeting the powers of darkness than catching a cold in the head," I retorted, laughing, and without further parley, we set off. And in a short while, we reached the door of the ancient mansion, which stood among the most desolate surroundings, on a shelf of barren rock, swept by all the winds of heaven. The huge door, antique, iron-barred, and studded with enormous nails, revolved slowly on its hinges and opened noiselessly. A shrunken little old dame was there to welcome us. From the threshold, we could see a large, high room, somewhat similar to the room formerly styled the Retainer's Hall. It certainly constituted a part of what